This evening, we're going to look at the theme, Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. That's a marvelous truth. He knew, God knew that we were, as a human race, led to the fall by the devil. So the Lord Jesus was sent to destroy the works of the devil. And what a wonderful gift that is. We couldn't have done that ourselves. There's no way that we could have. When you think of a perfect man and woman, Adam and Eve fell. They fell at the instigation of the devil. Who are we? We couldn't possibly defeat the devil. But there is one who could and who did, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And what a wonderful thing that is. What a glorious truth that is. I'm going to read the scripture from 1 John chapter 3. This morning we looked at 3 verse 5, and this evening we're going to look at the last part of verse 8 of 1 John 3, verse 8b. Listen, as the Apostle John, now John the Apostle is sitting on the island of Patmos, which is a small island in the Aegean Sea where he had been sent as punishment because he was a follower of Jesus Christ. He was not martyred as many of the other followers of Jesus were in gruesome ways, but he was exiled to the island of Patmos, a lonely island, a desolate island, a cold, stony island. That's where he was exiled. And while he was exiled there, God revealed great things to him. And he wrote them in four letters. The first one is Revelation. And then 1 John 1, and then 2 John, and then 3 John. Three letters were written to specific churches, his own congregation, which was in Ephesus. And the book of Revelation was written to seven churches that were all in what is today Turkey. And so John has revealed was given that revelation of Christ by Christ himself. And so here in chapter 3 of 1 John, he says, Behold, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Praise God for that. We are children of God. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be is not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, and He's going to appear again, when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. Everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared to take away sin, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as He is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And this is the text. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So far, the reading of the Word of God. What a glorious truth that is. The Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Let's look at this wonderful truth together. After we pray together and seek His guidance, Lord in heaven, grant us Your Spirit to anoint us with Your blessing and with Your wisdom and Your inspiration. As we look at this very beautiful verse of the Bible, that the Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. How thankful we are for the victory we have in Jesus. Help us, O Lord, to know it, to experience it, to share it. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, Christmas is a wonderful time. We love Christmas. Do you know that at one time there was a philosopher who said we should abandon Christmas? It's not necessary. There's a lot of wasted time, wasted money, and let's just forget about Christmas. But isn't it a wonderful thing that we don't forget about Christmas? Christmas is a wonderful, wonderful, blessed day in which we celebrate the coming of God into the flesh. An incredible miracle. A miracle that has never been done again. It was once for all. And as we saw this morning, Jesus came to take away sin. And now tonight, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's a great, great truth. Notice how the Apostle John describes the victor as Jesus Christ. John could have written, Jesus Christ appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Would have been true. Would have been infallible. But he doesn't. The Holy Spirit guided John to write exactly the words that he did. The Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Why? Why does John use Christ's divine nature to describe the victor over the devil? The Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Do you know that was the first major heresy that encountered the church after Christ's ascension? That there were those who said there was a time when he was not. That he is a great creature is no doubt, but he's not God. That's what Arius said. And it really shook the church. Because that is one of the pillars of the church. That we believe in the Trinity. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's a cardinal doctrine of the church. It's a doctrine which all of Christendom confesses. The Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church confesses that there is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all Protestant churches confess the same. But there are those who still follow the old heresy of Arius. The Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, they do not believe that Jesus was God. And they teach their followers the same. Well, if Jesus was not God, we do not have a Savior. The Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. How do we know that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, that He is truly God? You know, the Nicene Creed, which we confess tonight, lays that out very, very clearly so that there is no doubt about it. And we believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Now notice, this is what has been put down into the church's archives and is confessed by the church today, that He is begotten of the Father before all worlds. So He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is God of God, light of light. To nail it down even clearer, He is very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and our salvation was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. But He is God of God, very God of very God, begotten, not made. That is one of the solid cardinal doctrines of Christendom. And so John the Apostle, writing to his people there on the island of Patmos, he says to them, the Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. That's what it took to destroy the works of the devil. God had to do it. We couldn't do it. Adam and Eve in their perfection fell to Satan's temptations. And let me tell you, Jesus encountered the devil's temptations too. The devil prompted Herod to kill all the little boy babies of Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger, hoping to be able to kill the Christ. But God was there telling Joseph and Mary, go to Egypt and protect your son. And so Jesus was protected. But when Jesus entered His public ministry, you see again and again and again that the work of the devil was very, very active. There were many who were possessed of the devil. Some cried out, what have we to do with you? You've come to destroy us. Yes, He did. He did come to destroy us. The devil hates Christ. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. John writes in his gospel, those verses that we've all at one time memorized, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. You see how the Nicene Creed picks that up and says, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. That's exactly what John is saying. He is the Word who is God, and by Him all things were made. And to nail it down even clearer, John says it this way, without Him was not anything made that was made. When you see the beautiful sky, the stars, the sun, the moon, when you see the beauty of God's creation, you know who made that. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, is the one by whom all things and everything that God made was made. He made it by the word of His power. He spoke and it came to pass. And the Lord Jesus was active doing that very thing while He was here on earth. He took hold of people that were sick. Some were demon-possessed. Some were blind. Some were deaf. Some were lame. Some were paralyzed. And the Lord Jesus took care of it and He healed them and brought them to complete and wonderful health and strength. He was able to do it because He is Almighty God. Isaiah, back in Isaiah 9, verse 6. You remember how that beautiful verse goes. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, that is the rule of everything, the government is upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God of God, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father by whom all things were made. That is what John is nailing down here. He said, the Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil couldn't be handled any other way than by God himself. And that's why you read in the Bible, he that is in us, that is Jesus Christ is in us, is mightier than he that is in the world. Oh, praise God for that. Satan isn't so afraid of us, but he's very afraid of Christ, because Christ has defeated him. That's why the Lord says, he that is in us is mightier than he that is in the world. The Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. The Apostle Paul was involved in this as well, teaching us this, Colossians 2:9. For in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And John says, he came, he appeared to destroy the works of the devil. He had existence before he appeared. He had existence from all eternity. As we saw this morning in that text, that he appeared to take away our sin. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And so in this beautiful verse, the Son of God appeared to destroy the devil's work. In the Old Testament, he is called the Ancient of Days in Daniel 7. He is called the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And the purpose he came, as we saw this morning, was to take away sin, to reveal the Father, to destroy the works of the devil, and to get us ready for his second coming. Now notice how the enemy is described. How the enemy is described. The works of the devil. In John's Gospel, John tells us that Jesus encountered the devil in many, many different ways. And Jesus' evaluation of the devil is this, that the devil is a liar and there is no truth in him. The devil is a liar who hates the truth. That's why throughout the history of the church, there has been a concerted effort to undermine the Word of God. It happened in Luther's day. And Luther sang that mighty hymn, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing." And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has proved his truth will triumph through us. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Praise God for that. The devil is a liar from the beginning, but Christ is the truth. His word is the truth. In the equipment that the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6, we've got to have, when he says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and then he gives us the various pieces of armor and equipment that we need in order to win the battle against Satan. It's the belt of truth. It's the breastplate of righteousness. It's our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's the helmet of salvation. It's this shield of faith by which you can quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when Jesus encountered the devil's temptation there in the wilderness, that was the equipment he used most effectively. When the devil came and said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. Jesus said, it is written. The Word of God says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then the devil took Jesus to a high temple and said, cast yourself down, for your word said that he will give his angels charge over to you to protect you, that not even your foot will hit itself against a stone. But you know what? When the devil quoted that from Psalm 91, he misquoted it. The devil is as sly as a fox. You know what the verse says really in Psalm 91? He will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. The devil omitted that. He omitted that. And Jesus said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And then the devil took Jesus to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And made the audacious command and commitment to say all of this, I will give you if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord, and Him only shall you praise and worship. And Satan left him for a while. On a Mount of Transfiguration, the devil also used Peter to try and avoid the cross. And Peter said to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, hey, let's just stay here. We're so close to heaven. Why don't we just stay here? I will make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and we won't go down to that world where we got to encounter evil and darkness. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, for you are dealing with the things of God. He would not succumb to that temptation from his beloved disciple, Peter. But Jesus overcame all of the fiery darts of the wicked one, and he did by the power of the Holy Spirit in him. What a wonderful, wonderful truth that we have a victorious Savior who is Jesus Christ the Lord. So Satan hates the truth. He'll do everything to undermine the truth. That's why in the history of the church, ancient, medieval, modern, nearly every heresy that has encountered the church has been led by Satan, who tries to undermine the authority of the Word of God. Liberalism, tries to undermine the Word of God and says that's what it was, that's what it said then, but now it's different. There are those who say that the law of God was given, yes it was, but it's old. That's years and years ago. And they come up with the idea of a situational ethics. It's all the devil's prompting to undermine the Scriptures, because the Word of God is the foundation of the church. As we sing in that great hymn, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His wonderful Word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled?" So praise the Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to destroy the works of the devil. So the first of the works of the devil that I want to mention is the fact that he's a liar and hates the truth. He hates the truth. The second one that's brought in by Jesus, that Jesus says, is this: the devil is a murderer from the beginning. He hates life. The devil hates life, and he tries to destroy life. He tried to destroy Jesus' life by Herod. The devil is a murderer from the beginning. He knew that God had commanded Adam and Eve and said, "In the day thereof you eat the day you eat of it, you will surely die." What he wanted more than anything else is to make Adam and Eve die. He's a murderer from the beginning. He hates life. But thanks be to God, God is the giver of life. As the Nicene Creed says again, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life." That's exactly who the Holy Spirit is. He's the Lord and giver of life. And Satan tries to destroy life. And he does yet today. What do you think is behind the effort to destroy the life in the womb? It's certainly not God who is behind that. Satan is. He wants to destroy that emerging life in the womb. You know how important the incarnation is. That the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and created in her the child Jesus. The child Jesus was alive the moment that the Holy Spirit came upon the Virgin Mary. And the Lord protected him. Just as the Lord protected you from the moment you were conceived. And the Lord is the Lord and giver of life. But Satan tries to destroy life in every way he can. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. What a wonderful thing that is. So the devil is a liar and he's a murderer. You know what else the Bible tells us about the devil? The devil hates love. You know what you read? That the devil entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Betraying is fighting against love. The devil is a liar, a murderer, and he hates love. He's a betrayer. That's why the Lord says in this passage of John, "Do you know how you can tell if you belong to the Lord? If you love one another." Love is of God. God is love. And He puts love in our hearts for one another and for the Lord Himself. And we can say, I love the Lord. As Psalm 116 says, I love the Lord, for he hath heard my voice. He hath heard my cry for mercy. When I was brought low, he helped me. Return unto your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. He has delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That's our Lord. That's our Savior. He is the source of love. The fourth thing that the devil hates and the devil promotes is lawlessness. Lawlessness. He hates the law. Because the law is God's rule. It's God's measure of how we have to live. You remember how Proverbs says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. He directs it according to His perfect law. But Satan is the lawless one. He says, forget about the law. Do as you please. You saw in the book of Judges that after Joshua died, a whole generation arose that didn't know God and didn't remember the works of the Lord. And the theme of the book of Judges is this, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. There was no king in Israel, and they just did what they pleased. That was the devil at work. He hates the law. And so what does this text say that Jesus did? The Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. To destroy them. And the word to destroy is the same kind of word, the same word that is used to describe the shipwreck of the Apostle Paul going from Joppa to the city of Rome. And that ship encountered a hurricane. And the ship was literally torn apart. And God appeared to Paul on board that ship and said, the ship will be lost, but not a single one of the passengers of this ship will be lost. I'll protect them. But you know what happened to that ship? It was literally torn apart. That's the word that's used here. The Son of God came to destroy, to tear apart the works of the devil. That is also found in what we read in Hebrews chapter 2, where the Lord is telling us the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 2 verse 14, he says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise, that is Jesus, partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil. He might destroy it. He might render it helpless. He might tear it apart. He might reduce it to havoc. That's what he did. The Son of God came and he destroyed the works of the devil. He destroyed the devil's work of lying by presenting the truth. He destroyed the work of the devil of murder by giving us life. Whosoever believeth on the Son has life, and death cannot touch the child of God. We have life and have it eternal. This is what Jesus says, you know, in John 10. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. I know my sheep, and I call them by name. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And then in John, again, he says, I am the good shepherd. And in John 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he be dead, though his body be dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth, that liveth and believeth in me, shall never die. The devil is a murderer, but Christ is the giver of life. Life physical, life eternal, life that never ends. And our dear ones who have passed away in Christ are now alive in Him where He is. What a wonderful truth it is that Jesus came to destroy the devil's work of murder by giving us life eternal. And He destroyed the work of the devil of hating love by giving us love Himself. He poured out His soul to us on our behalf out of love. Pure, pure love. He so loved us that not a hair can fall from our head without His will. He who came destroyed the work of the devil of betrayal, and He gives us love. And He also gives us an appreciation of the law. He writes His law upon our hearts. So we seek to live according to all the commandments of the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so we look at this wonderful verse that the Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. That's what's happening even now as we speak. But there's going to be a day when the Lord Jesus will destroy the devil himself. And he will cast him into the bottomless pit. And he will cast him into the lake of fire. And the devil will forever be destroyed. And we will live in the new heaven and the new earth where there is righteousness, where there is life, where there is truth, where there is love, and where there is perfect harmony and lawfulness. All of that is ours because Jesus came. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing. And everyone said, Amen. O Lord, bless this word unto our hearts tonight. We thank you, O Lord, for the glorious victory we have in Jesus. What a wonderful gospel. It is truly the best news ever given. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have life everlasting. Bless us this day in Jesus' name. Amen.